Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Welcome to another All About Windows Phone Insight podcast. This is number 31, recording on the 17th of July, 2012. I'm Ewan Spence, as always, taking you through the weekly news and the fun and games in the world of Windows Phone and everything that that entails. But it's not a job that I can do single-handedly. So temporarily helping me out here, we have 10,000 security troops from G4S. No, I've just had two guys turn up. But that's okay, because it's two very professional guys. First up, we have Rafe Blanford.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for listening.
And Rafe, going to the Olympics at all? It's happening down in your neck of the woods.
Yes, I'm looking forward to going to the Olympics. I've got some tickets to go and see the athletics towards the end of the Olympics. I might see if I can sneak up and see some of the public events as well.
And we also have David Gilson.
Hello, Ewan. It's good to be here.
David, any Olympic events happening near Hull? I know some of them are being spread out over the country.
None. To be honest, I wouldn't be that interested. I'm just waiting until we have augmented human Olympics. That's a show I want
Shame.
To see.
We've done the augmented human Olympics. That was Ben Johnson.
Oh, I thought it was Google I.O.
No. And now bringing the vote to 2-1 in favour of it's all a load of rubbish, we don't like the Olympics anyway, is me. I can't be bothered with all that stuff anyway. So, yes, that's right, the person who's down in the south of England enjoys the Olympics and everybody else has to pay for it. Typical. Right then, let's move on to Windows Phone, which is probably something a little bit more close to our hearts and something that we can all agree on, especially as Steve's not
probably
here this
not,
week.
Actually.
Yes, indeed. Actually, let's talk about agreements, disagreements, and perceptions. Rafe, black and white, AT&T dropped the price of the Nokia Lumia 900 in their network down to $50.
No,
except
they didn't.
It's not a half-price cut, really, is it?
No, it's not a half-price cut, and it's not dropping the price to $50. It's dropping the contract entry price by half to $50. You still have to pay a monthly contract, and that's where the majority of the money in terms of buying this Nokia Lumia 900 goes from. So I get a little bit aggravated every time I see these stories about a handset price being cut in half. I mean, I do get that the upfront price is, you know, the one that the consumer sees, and that's kind of the big deal. And obviously, you know, cutting the price is going to result in some more sales. But I think, you know, when you talk about it, you have to make it absolutely clear that, you know, this is the upfront, you know, the entry to the contract price. It's not the full price that's being cut in half. You know, it's that there's a big difference between saying, you know, a SIM-free device has been dropped from $500 to $250, and there is saying a contract phone has dropped from $99 to $50, and just kind of think that needs to be reflected in the coverage. I think this is interesting because it's kind of been used as a stick to beat the Nokia Lumia 900, Nokia and Windows Phone more generally, with saying, you know, it's underperforming in sales. And there's been a lot of discussion around, you know, how many units of the Lumia 900 have been sold. A figure of 300,000 was mentioned, you know, reading between the lines of some ComScore data. You know, it's since come out that may not be entirely accurate, and ComScore says you can't necessarily read our data that way. And it did strike me as quite a low number. I guess we may hear more when the Nokia results come out later in the week. But it's kind of all kind of indicative of a pattern that's been going on recently, where I think, you know, Windows Phone and Nokia have struggled to find positive news stories.
But it is an easy story to write in the press, isn't it? There's a handset that seems to be struggling. There's a company that is struggling. There's no doubt about that. Both Microsoft and Nokia and all the other Windows Phone partners are in choppy seas at the moment as they reach their destination. And they see a half-price cut 4 days before Nokia's earnings call.
Yeah, something like that.
So it's an easy story to write, but it does do a disservice. This is why I was joking at the start about the perception of the Olympics. The perception, it seems to be just as important when marketing any smartphone as are the facts and the stats and the specification numbers. And sometimes I just think, you know, that perhaps we've gone too far in pushing for the stories. We're turning quite philosophical here, Rafe, aren't we?
Yes, but I think it's an important point. I mean, we should be clear that obviously it's not all sunshine and roses for Windows Phone and Nokia at the moment. But actually, I think they did pretty well with the Lumia 900 launch. You know, of course, you've had satisfaction sounds from both AT&T and Nokia. But, you know, you go into the shops, you do see it still being sold. You know, they're getting good consumer scores. I mean, I think the more sceptical people would say, well, of course they're going to be positive about it. They're, you know, the minority grouping. I think Andrew Orlowski, writing on the Register, kind of referred to it as Stockholm Syndrome. And there is kind of a point there, of course. But at the same time, I think, you know, the tech media does tend to, you know, get into a groove, a discourse about a certain story. And Nokia, and I think to an extent Windows Phone as well, is suffering from that at the moment, in that, you know, everyone has kind of the viewpoint on it and the angle, and it's not really changing. And I mean, in terms of a common strategy, it's very difficult to get out of that. You know, you have to start finding different kind of news, and I suspect we'll have to wait until Windows Phone 8 later in the year before that starts to change at all. And, you know, in a sense, you know, once you start getting stuff like that in the media, it does have a knock-on effect. I think sometimes media probably overestimates their own importance. Yes, you know, obviously has an impact on what people buy, but word of mouth will be just as important. So, you know, people seeing that their friends bought a certain phone and they really like it is probably going to have a more positive impact. But yes, it is interesting the way these kind of these stories get going, almost given a life of their own. And a lot of the time, you know, it boils down what's actually quite complex, you know, situation to something that's much simpler. You know, it's a yes or no, or it's doing badly or it's doing well. And, you know, particularly with regard to smartphones, you know, there does tend to be a handset that's in. And you know, you see that going along. The Samsung Galaxy S3 at the moment is a good example of this. I mean, I think it's a good handset, but I don't think it's kind of the outstanding handset that, you know, some of the media coverage might have you believe. You know, there's a very good reason to go and buy something else now, be that, you know, an iPhone, a Windows phone device, another Android device, something else. I'm not sure there's any way around it. That's just kind of the reality. It is the way it is. But it is something that both Microsoft and Nokia are going to have to bear in mind when they're thinking about their campaigns. And, you know, it's this old question about, you know, is there room for a third ecosystem? How do they kind of make people aware of it? You know, they've tried the big push in terms of spending money, lots of money on advertising campaigns. You know, AT&T talk about having spent $150 million in the US. And, you know, and the pattern's repeated elsewhere. It's not just the US. I think we've seen a similar thing in Europe and some other markets as well. I don't think there's any easy answer, but it, you know, part of me sort of still is pained to see stories about half price cuts without any context, because I think it's a disservice to people, you know, reading about it.
And of course, we have to remember that the Samsung Galaxy S3 has been designed for humans, as opposed to meerkats or dogs or cats or whatever. It is all about building our perceptions. David, to go to the complete other extreme, there's been another perception issue as well in terms of Windows Phone 8 and software. I just think this is a fun one to highlight up as well.
Oh, yes. And by the way, the design for humans, you stole my joke.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes,
I didn't know people from Hull joked.
Whew. Oh, Ewan, what have I told you about insulting our listeners in Hull?
What, John Prescott?
Don't do it.
Anyway, David, perceptions.
Yes, everyone on the internet has been going bonkers this morning over a report that Windows Phone 8 is going to get a screenshot function. Even The Verge have reported it, but it has been reported. That was their wording. Yes, the story actually comes from a Chinese website called wpdang.com. Which we're reading a rough Google translation of it, although even this, the source story that everyone else has been quoting, actually says itself that there has been no official word from Microsoft, there's been no feature list that include a screenshot function, but that they believe it will come soon. The only other more substantive comment in the story is that they've learned how the screenshot function will work, but it'd be the Windows key plus the camera shutter key. But they don't say where they've got that from. That story is spread like wildfire, and the more people who are looking at their feeds or on Twitter and see how many times the story comes up, that they must think, oh, well, it must be true because there's so many people reporting it. But when you go back to the source story, there just isn't a lot of detail there, which is why we haven't reported it. There just isn't enough there to take it to the bank.
Yeah, that's right, David. I mean, I imagine WP Dang have got their own source that they've spoken to, but I haven't been very clear, perhaps because they want to protect the source concern. But it, you know, it's an interesting point. There's a lot of, you know, talk about Windows Phone 8 going on, and there's been various sort of anticipated features. You can read a lot into what's already been said. I mean, USB mass storage is an example of this. Microsoft didn't explicitly come out and say it's being supported, but with what they said about the micro SD card support, it's very likely it will be. If you're transferring for a phone and can also access it on your PC, I think there's a very good chance that USB mass storage will work directly on the device. But this screenshot one was a little more nebulous. I mean, I actually think it's pretty likely that it will be supported. I mean, it's of interest both to the press, but also developers looking to take screenshots of applications for marketing reasons and when submitting to the marketplace. But it's probably worth at this point reiterating, when we're covering things on All About Windows Phone, we'll always, you know, try and talk very clearly about the source. And generally, we won't report something unless we can confirm it. And it's, you know, the approach of double sourcing things. If we can confirm it from two sources or from an official Microsoft source, that then, you know, we will take that as a fact. You know, when you're getting something from a third party source, you really do need to sort of check from somewhere else as well. And obviously there will sometimes be exceptions to that, but we'll mark those up very clearly. And I suspect we're going to see a lot more of this as Windows Phone 8 gets closer. You know, people will be wanting to talk about the features, and you know, Microsoft themselves have said quite clearly that they haven't talked about all the consumer features by any stretch of the imagination. They kind of just gave a taster to developers. So I expect a lot more to come. And of course, when that starts happening, we'll be covering it on the site in full detail.
I think this particular case just speaks to a general sense of news, not even the tech news, but just as a consumer of news. I think you really do have to approach things with a skeptical eye, because the thing is, there's other writers and journalists and bloggers out there who want to get stories out there. They want to get people coming into their site so that they will post things that aren't maybe as they seem. So you do just have to have something of a jaded skeptical eye when you're reading a lot of sites. Well, at least I do.
I guess that's the cynical way of looking. I mean, this is, you know, the internet age, and I think, you know, this happens almost inevitably, the kind of viral spread of a story. And let's not be clear, you know, the same sort of thing does happen in the mainstream media, and mainstream media can sometimes be caught up by this as well. You know, there's plenty of examples of false stories. But, you know, as I said, one of the things we do try and do on All About Windows Phone is just be a little more careful. And, you know, that kind of ties in with our ethos of doing high quality curation of the stories that you're reading on the site. You know, we do our original editorial, but we also do our flow to kind of link out to, you know, new applications, interesting bits from elsewhere. But providing that context is very important. And I think most people who are, you know, read their news on the web now know how important it is to kind of read the context of a story and try and understand where the information has come from, where the source is when you're talking about a bit of data or a bit of news. So just maybe beware that there is going to be plenty of this coming up with Windows Phone. And of course, there's the, you know, third generation of devices will also be due with Windows Phone 8. So I don't suppose it will be too long before we start getting, you know, more detailed rumours about those devices. I mean, some of them have already started. What we do know is that Nokia, HTC, Samsung and Huawei will all be, you know, producing devices, because they've been held up by Microsoft as their launch partners in terms of hardware.
So there is lots going on. We will do our best to sift, but if you want to keep a cynical head on as well, then you're more than welcome to join us. Other websites are available because we use them as well. Right then, let's head on to stuff that's actually been bouncing around this week. And we're going to carry on that build-up, Rafe, I think, of Microsoft, the Windows 8, Windows Phone 8. Another element of the strategy came in, which was Office 2013. Now, this doesn't directly have an impact on a Windows Phone handset, but it does impact the ecosystem, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, this is kind of all part of Microsoft's very busy 2012-2013 with the launch of Windows 8 and all the related products, which in one sense, Windows Phone 8 as well. So what we've got here is Microsoft unveiling the Office 2013 customer preview. In effect, that's a public beta. It's just, I think, three things that I'll talk about. One, it's kind of seeing the introduction for the first time to, you know, the Office suite, and obviously that's Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Access, OneNote, Outlook, Publisher, and a couple of other bits and pieces of kind of the Metro UI. It's not going to be a southern switch. You're going to get some apps which are kind of more Metro than others. You know, there's going to be OneNote and Link are going to be the first Windows 8 style application to Office. The rest are going to sort of have a familiar feel, but are going to start introducing Metro UI elements. A lot of that's about kind of removing some of the Chrome and sort of taking advantage of full screen. There's also kind of the introduction of touch everywhere. Microsoft are sort of saying this is touch-enabled Office. Actually, I would describe it more as the start of this process, and it's likely to be completed in the next version. You know, yes, touch has started to be introduced, much like it was in Windows 7, I would say, and it's, you know, will find its full fruition like Windows 8 perhaps later on. And of course, there's also going to be the version of Office for Windows on ARM or Windows RT. That kind of has an interesting implication, because I suspect that might well play into future versions of Office on Windows Phone, because obviously there's a common code possibility there. But the I think perhaps more relevant directly to Windows Phone now is the drive for cloud integration. That's going to take a couple of forms. Kind of one of the interesting thing is Office on Demand. This is the idea that you'll have streaming applications and be available on any internet-connected PC running Windows 7 or Windows 8. But more relevant to Windows Phone is the SkyDrive integration. This is going to, almost by default be saving documents to SkyDrive. And obviously that's various levels of space there. But also it'll save settings and other bits and pieces. So you kind of get the same Office experience whichever computer you happen to be using. I think that's interesting, because as soon as you start saving documents to SkyDrive by default, it becomes much easier to have a seamless experience editing them on your phone or your tablet or whatever it happens to be. And so I think it makes, the presence of Office on Windows Phone kind of, if you like, that bit more important. And it gives, Windows Phone maybe the credentials that Office has been missing before. Everyone knew it was the phone that had Office because it was the Microsoft product, but it might actually start to mean a little bit more now. I guess the other thing we should just flag up briefly is the social features. That's the integration of the Yammer and the Skype acquisition, but also the idea of a people card that's going to be contacts everywhere. And that draws a lot on what's happened in Windows Phone in terms of having a single point of entry for contacting people, and also social integration there. So as you said, it's not directly relevant here, but this is kind of part of the complete picture. I mean, the idea that Microsoft wants to drive is, a common user experience across PCs, across tablets, across phone. And Office 2013 is kind of the productivity suite side of that. I suspect we'll probably hear a lot more about this when some more of the consumer features of Windows Phone 8 get announced.
So, of course, David has been a little bit of our test pilot on all of this, having a Windows 8 installed on his laptop. David, initial impressions of Office 2013?
Initial impressions, I haven't had time to go into the features of this, although aesthetically, it looks a lot more consumer-friendly to me. You can pick background colours to appear in the top ribbon area and everything, so it seems to be more of a consumer focused than business focused, and I can see what Rafe means about it being more touch friendly and sort of introducing people to the Metro feel, because it does look a lot more Metro like. I mean, particularly when you start one of the applications, you get a sidebar full of recent files, and that looks a lot like a Metro application. But it isn't. It is a desktop application. You still have the minimize, maximize, close buttons, and it is running in the desktop mode of Windows 8. Because I am running Windows 8 at the moment, and really, even though it's great having the Metro interface there, I am using it sometimes, but I am spending most of my time in the desktop still. And these applications look Metro-y, but they are working in the desktop.
Yeah, I mean, that speaks to one of the challenges that Microsoft faces, obviously, with this introduction of the traditional desktop plus the new Metro look and feel, the start screen. This is obviously, I think, even more important in Office, which is kind of the money bank, if you like, for Microsoft. It's one of their highest earning products. It's where a lot of their revenue comes from, and they have a massive install base, and business users don't always like change, and so there's this challenge about how do you transition. And that's why I think you've kind of got this first approaches to the Metro UI feel. But as David said, it's still a traditional desktop application. So anyone who's using existing version of Office, I think, will immediately feel at home. And there's that same sense of familiarity. But it'd be interesting to watch this one, because obviously Microsoft does have in mind to kind of move people towards the new, the Metro design language and all of that, which is implied for the user interface in the future. But, you know, there is a transition phase to go through, and kind of Windows 8 is half of one thing and half of another. You know, contrast to Windows Phone, which was just a fresh start and is completely Metro. The desktop, the PC, and to a certain extent, tablets are going to remain mixed between kind of old Windows and new Windows.
Just to go back to what we were talking about before, we were saying that Nokia seems to be having a hard time catching a break in the news, and so people will jump on anything to criticise certain phones. I think if Nokia can if their bank balance can hang on long enough, what Microsoft is doing with Metro will form something of a virtuous circle, which is going to help the idea of the third ecosystem. Because the more they are pushing Metro in Windows 8 hard, they're making Windows 8 very easy to obtain, and it's going to be easy for developers to develop applications across Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8. So Metro is going to be everywhere, and soon Windows Phone 8, Windows Phone 7 maybe, isn't going to be this strange third phone. It's going to be the phone that really looks like your desktop, which is what Microsoft wanted to do with Windows Mobile, except the old interface didn't work that well on mobile, but now with the Tile interface, and it all comes together a lot better, because computers are becoming more touch-like, like tablets and like phones, and the phones have for a long time been more like computers as well. And this user interface does seem to work well. So as I say, I think if Nokia can hang on, things will pick up, because Tiles are going to be in front of everybody.
Yeah, I think that virtuous circle that David talks about is kind of the X factor, or the unknown factor, if we're looking to the future of Windows Phone. And obviously, to an extent, that ties in with Nokia as well. I mean, we are going to get Nokia's quarter two results later this week, and they're expected to be pretty bad. I mean, it's just a question of how much money they'll lose, and, you know, how fewer devices they're selling, and there's sort of various guesses around at the moment. We'll be reporting on that. But yes, the question then becomes is, you know, how much of a factor does this kind of Metro on the desktop, you know, play into Windows Phone? And I think the honest answer is it's very difficult to tell at the moment. However, you know, part of the reason for that is we haven't had anything like this before. You know, the iOS, for example, was pretty much a departure from Mac on the desktop. We're going to have this commonality that we haven't really seen before. And of course, you know, Windows remains by far and away the most popular desktop operating system. Now, of course, not everyone's going to upgrade straight away, so it's not an overnight thing. But I think people may be surprised by how quickly that kind of Metro starts coming in. I mean, in some senses, some of the applications available for Windows 7 are already getting towards that point, so people are becoming more familiar with it. I think it's easy to underestimate the impact that this will have, simply because, you know, Windows is so dominant on the desktop, and if people do enjoy that experience, they may well, you know, go out and look for it on their phone. I'm not sure this is going to appeal necessarily to the, you know, the phone geeks. I think they'll already be fixed on iOS and Android, but I do think this could have a big impact amongst ordinary consumers who will, you know, see that sense of familiarity, and that might be, you know, a reason to buy a smartphone, because it becomes less intimidating or something that's easier to use. But we'll have to wait and see. I think that's a story we're going to come back to a lot in the future, and judging that impact will be something that's I think probably not easy to do, but it's something I want us to talk about on a future podcast.
So there we go. There are lots going on, and as always, you can keep following the podcast back at the website, allaboutwindowsphone.com, and we'll get ourselves into all the relevant podcast directories around the world. We suddenly discover we're missing one or two of them, but you can always just punch our RSS feed directly into your podcast catcher of choice. Now, couple of other small applications, mostly in the leisure side of things. Nimbus popped up in Flow. Now, Nimbus is a big IM client. It's around, I think they're seeing about 100 million downloads over iOS, Android, and Symbian and such like. A popular one on Symbian gives you access to Google Talk, into Yahoo Messenger, into Windows Live MSN Messenger, as well as your Twitter as well, and there's a SIP and VoIP client in there as well. This is where issues like background running really show up some of the problems that you have with creating rich multimedia applications on Windows Phone, because it doesn't run in the background. So what was a really good application on Symbian, and David, I think you've been using Nimbus and Symbian for some time, is it just doesn't go on Windows Phone because you can't leave Nimbus as the foreground task for an entire working day.
Yeah, well, that's exactly the same issue that Skype faces, and it's something I've said time and again, it needn't be the case, because, yes, the application isn't going to run in real time in the background, so you can't have messages coming in while you're not looking at the application, but there is the push notification system. So if Nimbus could set up a system for Windows Phone devices to talk to Microsoft push notification service, you can, I don't know whether to say simulate or achieve real-time messaging, but it's still doable. It's theoretically possible. It's just developers, for some reason, aren't using this push service as much as they should.
Yeah, I think this is an interesting one, because David's quite right. It's theoretically possible. I mean, I've spoken to a couple of developers about this, and they said there are some problems with performance in terms of how quickly the messages are, you know, are delivered in the background. But part of me goes, you know, as long as you can use it to kick off the initial conversation, you can always then, you know, use a catch-up on the messages. Once people have actually switched to the app, you know, the problem sort of goes away. So yes, it's curious we haven't seen more of this. Of course, there are, you know, significant, you know, back-end costs to setting up push notification servers and kind of shifting the responsibility off the mobile device and onto the server side. And, you know, we've seen this in a couple of Twitter applications as well. You know, there's developers out there who said, yes, I'd like to set up push notifications, but actually that's a cost I'm not willing to bear. You know, and that sort of thing, it can add up pretty quickly. And IM, because it results in so many of these push notifications, or would do if you implemented it, I can see there may be a cost issue there. This problem will partly go away with Windows Phone 8, because one of the features we did get told about was kind of this background VoIP, which I think will also have an instant messaging component. And, you know, Microsoft used the example of Skype, but it's going to be completely open to third parties. So I'd expect people like Nimbus and WhatsApp to take advantage of the API to be able to do this, you know, in the background. And so there won't be a need to implement these push notifications. But, you know, it's not just IM applications that, you know, could potentially take advantage of this. I've been surprised that there aren't more applications taking advantage of, you know, push notifications. I mean, we use it in the All About Windows Phone app to kind of notify people that there's a new headline. It changes the icon, you get a number on it. Actually, looking at the server logs, we can see not all that many people actually choose to switch it on. It's only about 10% of the active app users. But, you know, for those that use it, hopefully it's a useful feature, and it is something I'd like to see more developers using.
I think that, whether it's factual or perceptional, I think that there could be a concern over battery life. So people who are technical enough to be aware of push notifications will actually use them sparingly to try to conserve their battery life. I know sometimes even I felt like that. I think, well, I've got all these things turned on. That must be taxing it. I should turn them off. And to me, I'm not actually sure how much having push services turned on does impact the battery life. I know when I got rid of the Facebook application, my battery life improved a lot, and I've still got Roe and WhatsApp using push. So whether I was just taking off one thing that tipped the scales, or whether the Facebook application is written particularly problematically, I don't know. Yeah, I haven't been able to do scientific tests.
A lot to talk about here, and as we go on, of course, again, Rafe, I hate to say this, but it's another thing that Windows Phone 8 says it's going to fix. It just, we're sounding like a broken record here.
Yes, I think that's kind of inevitable when Windows Phone 8 approaching. You kind of have to stay on your breath. Oh, and by the way, but I think it's kind of emblematic of what Windows Phone 8 does. It does fill in an awful lot of holes that we kind of talked about, and I think have only become more noticeable over time. And I guess it reflects the fact that, you know, Mango was really only the second major version of Windows Phone, and Windows Phone 8 will be the third major version. You've joked in previous podcasts about it being a version 3 Microsoft product, and that sorts it out. But I think it's something that all products go through. You know, you can remember the first version of the iPhone. You didn't have support for native applications, and the very idea of that now seems horrifying. but there are, you know, plenty of gaps. And we're also, you know, we're going to see this on stuff like filing system, Bluetooth, you know, sort of more bits of multitasking, but also some of the security elements in terms of enterprise usage, some extra multimedia stuff, you know, extra capability in the camera software. So I guess it's something we have to keep mentioning, and it'll probably upset people with the existing devices because, of course, they won't be able to upgrade to Windows Phone 8. But you kind of have to differentiate between, you know, what's good for the platform as a whole, and obviously these changes are all needed to make it competitive, and what's, you know, good for, you know, existing consumers. And I'm sure there's still a lot of frustration out there over, you know, 7.8 and 8. But, you know, I think Microsoft have done the right thing by switching to the Windows NT kernel.
And there's probably going to be a lot of people throwing, yeah, but Windows 7.8 won't do background multitasking, yes, and stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff. But there we go. These are the sort of people that really need to get out more. And to help them get out more, Rafe Zombies.
Yes, Ewan. You just insulted more of our listeners, but this was...
listeners? apart from Steve. Oh, and Phil's listening as well. Hi, Phil. Good luck finding another job. We do mean that in office. But anyway, Zombies Run.
Yes, Zombies Run. This was caught my eye simply because it was a really clever concept. And actually, it's basically sports tracking or exercise tracking crossed with a zombie adventure game. Essentially, what you do is, you know, you go for your run, but you start this application up and it will give you a narrative story of zombies chasing you, complete with sound effects and challenges that you have to complete. And as you go out for your run, you collect food, medicines and other bits and pieces, which you can then take back to your base when you get back home. And not only will your run be tracked, you will have collected these items, which you then use to build up your base. You get more points. You can unlock additional missions as you build up your home base. But just as a way of encouraging people to go out and run, you know, get fit, I thought this was a really clever idea. You know, it's been available on iOS and Android for a while, but it's now available on Windows Phone.
I am going to do a full review on this by the end of the week, so I don't want to give away too much. But I love the fact that you can set up your own playlist, which does lead to some, the first time I played it, rather interesting things where there's this lovely, massive, in-depth zombie story and plane crashes and lots of dark mood. And then it plays music from your playlist, which means I got the new Seekers Beg, Steal or Borrow coming up as the next one, which kind of took me out of the story for a moment. So next time I went out, I put some Mike Oldfield on and the music from The Exorcist, and that worked really, really well. Keep an eye out for a full review on that one on All About Windows Phone over the next couple of days. Other new game titles, Nokia's had another exclusive one, but this was the first one that was an Xbox Live title. I know they've got a bundle of exclusive applications either through timing periods on stuff like the ESPN, but also in terms of stuff that they've made up themselves. But Mirror's Edge, again, a game that's been out for some time on other platforms, making the jump. And yes, the pun is there if you already played the game. David, I mean, I had a little bit of a, oh, this is an exclusive, but it's an exclusive to Xbox Live. I mean, I was kind of worrying that there was fragmentation coming in software here. Am I just being too emotionally prickly over this one, David?
Yeah, I don't think there's too much of a practical issue. I mean, the only thing, as far as I know, that Xbox Live gives you is plugging into an achievement system and earning points. Since I'm not an Xbox user, that doesn't mean a whole lot to me. So, I mean, me as a Windows Phone user who doesn't play video games, I don't really care whether it's an Xbox Live title or not, because if it's a game, I'll play it. If it's a game that I like, I'll play it. And the achievement system, that's just something incidental that happens.
I think it's probably more annoying for people who are Xbox Live subscribers, but also for people that don't have Nokia devices, seeing an Xbox Live title come out for, you know, that's not available on their handset is going to be very annoying. In all fairness, I don't think it's a massive deal, simply because these exclusives tend to be time limited. I think in the case of Mirror's Edge, it's going to be something like 60 days or so. So it's not like it's not going to be available. And it is actually out of the weekly release cycle. You know, there's still an Xbox Live title arriving every week. And it's just that this one's available for Nokia devices, you know, in advance of it being available for other devices. And, you know, I don't think you can have it both ways. You know, you want manufacturers to invest in their own software or you know, encourage developers to develop for the platform, and they're doing that by basically making payments. Part of the price of that is you are going to end up with these exclusive applications. I wouldn't say it's fragmentation in the sense that they don't work on other devices. It's fragmentation, you know, in the sense that it won't be available immediately. And for most people, I can't really see that being that big a deal.
So it's just me looking for a headline then, Rafe?
Well, maybe. I mean, I do understand the frustration, you know, because obviously you want to get it as soon as possible. But I'm not sure the vast majority of users will actually notice something like this. And ultimately, you sort of go, well, you buy a Nokia device because you know you're going to get better support from Nokia. And while the other device manufacturers aren't committed in the same way, I don't think that's an unreasonable stance to take.
So there we go. Then you can leave your comments back on the website and tell me if I'm right or wrong, and that's my wife, in which case I already know that you're going to tell me that I'm wrong and I will just accept it. Great. On the other hand, we shall leave it open for debate. Okay, guys, given that I ran through Mirror's Edge in about 3 hours, it's actually quite a short game for the price that it came up for. What else have we been running through? Rafe, let's start with you. What's been your application of the week as the podcast comes to a close?
My application of the week is looking ahead a bit because it's London 2012. This is the official London Olympics results app. At the moment, it's just showing a countdown.
Whoa, hold on. Have we just said London and Olympics in the podcast?
Well, we probably have. I'm not allowed to say things like that.
Yeah, that's
it's all right, though, because I'm talking about the official app.
Yeah, but that's two words from column B. We can't use that, says Lowcock. We have to call it the Voldemort Games.
Right, okay. Well, anyway, I'm going to call it the London Olympics. At the moment, it's just showing me a countdown to the opening ceremony, but this is going to have live results from all the sports, all the events going on, and actually there's sections for each of them, so you can dive into one of the sports sections. You get information about when the event's taking place, you get news headlines, you get photos, and you get a kind of description of the event, which is basically means you've got a really handy guide to the Olympic Games on your phone. You know, it's been well implemented. It's running kind of the typical Metro UI, taking advantage of panoramas and pivots. It'll be interesting to see how it does once the games actually get underway, but the developers promise that there'll be live updates and live news. So I think this is going to be the indispensable way to follow the London Olympics on your Windows phone device. There are some other apps which allow you to follow the sporting event that's taking place in the capital of the United Kingdom. And I suspect they may come across some branding issues, and we'll talk about some of those maybe in a future podcast and certainly on the site as the big event gets underway.
There we go. David, without using any of the words from column A or B, what application have you got this week?
My application is Plex, and that's not the game. It's a media center complementary application. If you haven't heard of Plex, it's very much like XBMC Media Center, because it was actually flopped from that project. The way Plex works is that on your desktop computers in your home, you can install the Plex server, which catalogs all of your media and acts as a DLNA server. And then you, on your other computers, or even on the same one, you install the Plex desktop application, and the menu is very much like XBMC, and you can browse all of the content that you've got stored on the server application on another PC. What the official, and I am underlining the word official, application does on Windows Phone is that it allows you to browse all of the content but stored on your server, so you can just thumb through and see what music or movies or TV series you've got. And it's the back-end system is very good at pulling up metadata about programs, so you can read all about the films and the actors and the directors on your phone, and then you can set it playing. But you have an option. You can use your phone to tell the server to either play it on another Plex client somewhere else in your house, or you can have that media streamed directly to your phone, which gets around the problem that some of us have with thinking, oh, well, we don't want to wait for Zoom Desktop to convert and sync files to our phones. Well, we don't have to anymore. As long as you're on a home network, you can actually stream anything you like to the phone. Now, obviously, that'll use up more battery. Other features that it has built in, it's got the MyPlex system, which allows you, when you're on the desktop, you can queue up web videos from numerous sources and view them later on any client, including a mobile client. And there's also a remote control mode, so you can actually using like navigation keys and playback controls on your phone while you're watching a film or whatever on your big TV that's hooked up to a Plex client. And I believe there's actually a native app for Samsung and LG TVs as well. So you could actually be using your phone as a remote control, which I don't know about you, but that's been my nirvana. and it's, I've never been able to do it since I had a Palm Pilot with an infrared, universal infrared remote control app. And I've missed it ever since.
It's far easier just to have kids, David.
I will debate that one with you.
It's dead easy. He's like, can we change the channel? No, SpongeBob SquarePants is on. No, we're watching this. You never need a TV changer again in your life. Right, application for me. Just a little cute one here. Many of us at All About Windows Phone have got a GIFGAF sim, which is one of the MVNOs here in the United Kingdom. They have a very much community orientated. They don't have a support desk that you can phone up. They have a message board, and anyone who's on the service can actually supply the answers and do help support. Essentially, it's like it's a halfway house between a network and a community run organization. It is backed by O2 in terms of both of venture capital and in terms of networking. But one of the users has also their own GIFGAF application. There's actually three in the store, but the one I'm using is a GIFGAF by Ian Morland, which gives you a lovely live charting, how many minutes you've got left on your account, also your data and your text as well. You click on that and you can manage your account. You can top up in a later version. A little note at the top saying it's not quite working yet. Don't mark me down. Check your balance, buy your goodie bags and monthly so on. And it's just a really nice feel because this is someone using an API in a very much Metro UI environment that looks like the theming of the website. And the simple fact is having a little counter as a live telling you how many minutes you've got left this month and your texts and your data is really, really useful. So I'm using it, but not using it because all I'm doing is just looking at it.
Just while you're saying that, Ewan, I will just give a plug to the one that I use because I'm on GIFGAF too, and I've got an app called My GIFGAF by Stuart Aiton, and that does very similar things, and it's got some really good features on the way as well, so we'll be talking about that more in the future. So there's plenty of options for all the GIFGAF users out there.
Indeed, I think a head-to-head is due at some point on the website. When we get around to doing that, you will be able to read it at allaboutwindowsphone.com. Thanks to my two co-hosts, David Gilson.
Thank you very much, Ewan, and thank you everyone at home for listening.
And to Rafe Blanford.
Goodbye, everybody.
Who missed my setup line where I said, what applications have you been running this week? And then he goes and talks about an Olympics application.
I'm sorry.
I don't know. I even set up an airplane line earlier for David. He missed that as well. This isn't on, guys. Anyway, I'm Ewan Spencer, setting up the jokes here that aren't knocked over because we are obviously in deadly serious mode here and All About Windows Phone.
Don't call maybe him things... Shirley.
That's my boy. Anything happens to my podcast, I'll pound you to pieces like this. And we'll see you next week. Draw for now.